So today's story is the healing of the centurion's servant. Great title, right? I want to read it. You can find it in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13. I want to read Luke's account of it, Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. It's going to be on the screen as I read. You can read along. It says, "When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, 'This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue.' So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, 'Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one to come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, 'I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel.' Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well." Everybody say, he was healed. He was healed. The first thing that I want to say here is that our impossibilities become possible when we bring them to Jesus. Our impossibilities become possible when we bring them to Jesus. One of the major hindrances to experiencing the miraculous is that we stop believing that the impossible is possible. As we grow up, we're almost trained to go in that direction, to stop believing, to lay aside our imagination, to stop dreaming, to stop believing that the impossible is possible, whether it's sheer skepticism or disappointment. Some people don't believe in miracles. You could get two people to experience the same thing, and one person may say, that wasn't a miracle at all. How is that? And then also, there are people who, because of disappointment, maybe they prayed and they didn't receive their miracle. And so there's pain there. And no matter how hard they try, it's hard for them to believe that the impossible is possible. Well, it's often those who boldly press the limits of possibility who end up achieving the impossible. There's a guy named George Danzig. He's a world-renowned scientist, mathematician. He made great contributions to operational research, computer science, economics, and statistics. But you know what? George Danzig one day mistook two problems on the board when he was in college that his professor put up there to show people an example of problems, statistics problems, that were unsolvable. He mistook them as homework. How'd you like to be in that? I got more time, things I can do, right, than to work on unsolvable problems. But he got to class late, so he got an extra homework assignment, so he thought. So he went back to his dorm, and he worked on the problems. And to the surprise of his professor, guess what happened? He solved the problems, became an instant famous mathematician and scientist, ended up having a great career. But you know what George Danzig said? He said, if they told me that the problems were unsolvable, I wouldn't have even tried them. The impossible is possible. This is a verse that we need to get deep down in our spirits. Luke 18, verse 27 says, what is impossible with man is impossible what? With God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. This centurion, though he was not a Jew, believed that Jesus was able to handle his impossibility. Now, the scripture says he heard about Jesus. I don't know exactly what he heard. Perhaps he heard that there was a wedding in Cana that ran out of wine, but then Jesus turned the water into wine. Maybe he got one of those vintage bottles and said, "Whew, there is a God." I don't know. But the scripture tells us that his servant was sick and about to die. Maybe he had already gone to the doctors and the doctors did everything that they could do and they could do no more. And his servant that he loved, that he loved so dearly, was still lying there in the bed, dying. You know something that's wonderful? As believers, we always have the privilege of seeking a second opinion. We always have a second opinion because we serve a God that is all powerful. And so when the doctors have no more to say, like in the case of my father, who was raised miraculously from the dead, you got to go back and look at it online. It's a couple of weeks ago. You can find it in our archives to hear that story. When the doctors have no more to say, guess what? Jesus is still talking. And he's got a lot to say. Second opinion. So we bring our impossibilities to Jesus by faith. Everybody say, by faith. What is faith? Faith is really just trusting in the Lord's power, his faithfulness, and his good nature. Everybody say, and his good nature. Not in our human power or ability, but trusting in God's mighty power. Not in our worthiness, but in God's faithfulness. Somebody say, thank God. Not even in what he does for us, but in his good nature. Because there may be times when there is a delay to the answer to our prayer or our miracle, or maybe our miracle ends up coming in a different way than what we had expected. God doesn't always do things according to our plan. Sometimes he has another miracle that he wants to be revealed. But we need to believe that he's good. That's a part of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, you hear the list of people who receive these great and precious promises and things that happen by their faith. By faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. By faith, right? Abraham. Over and over. But then it gets to the end of the chapter, and you hear that by faith, people were sawed in half. Hold up. Wait a minute. God? That's not the answer I wanted. There were people who were thrown in the lion's den. There were people who didn't necessarily receive what they thought they would receive, yet the Bible says that they were commended for their faith. Now let me ask you a question. Does it take more faith to believe God and get your answer, or does it take more faith to believe God and not get your answer and still be able to say, bless the name of the Lord? Praise the name of the Lord our God. Can you not get the answer that you want and still praise the Lord? That's real faith. Real faith. Everybody say, by faith. As a pastor, one of the most humbling things that I get to do is to walk through things with people, situations that you would never wish upon anyone. But one of the awesome privileges is to see the miracle of how the human soul is able to rebound by faith in God, by faith in Christ. We're able to rise up above our situation and brush ourselves off and go on and believe that God is still God and believe that God is still good. I was able to have a conversation with one of our dear congregation members through text. We can talk to people. We can say we talk to people even though we just text them, right? We had a text conversation and we were rehearsing the hurt and the pain that she went through when she lost
her first child, and how God was able to allow her to move forward from that. It's real pain. As humans in this life, we have to go through some real nastiness sometimes. But one of the greatest miracles is that God, through faith, allows us to move on and see that God is good. She now has two children, and she pastors a church, proclaiming the goodness and faithfulness of God. Faith is trusting in God's good nature, trusting in his faithfulness, trusting in his power. And that's how we come to God, to make our impossibilities possible. We also bring our impossibilities to Jesus in prayer. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. That was a prayer request right there, sent through people. Now, being that he was a Roman centurion, he could have done that a whole nother way. He had the authority to actually send men to go get Jesus and bring him here. I'm going to make him heal my servant. Thank God he didn't do that, right? He understood that he didn't have any power over Jesus to get him to heal his servant other than to make a humble but bold request. Everybody say humble but bold. That's what our prayer should be. We get to make such requests of the Lord directly and at any time. We don't have to have a mediator or ask somebody else to go and ask him for us. Scripture tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. James 5:16 says that our prayers, the prayers of the righteous, are powerfully effective. God has given us an awesome weapon, spiritual weapon, that we can use at any moment's notice. We can pray. We can make those humble but bold requests. I love how Mark Batterson said, make your boldest prayer, your boldest ask, your boldest request, because the Lord says that he can do it immeasurably above what we could ask or think. So here's the question, why don't we ask? Do you know what? There's a saying, I don't know if I fully believe in it or not, but it says that the Lord won't answer 100% of the prayers that we don't pray. I actually believe that the Lord even answers some prayers that we don't utter and we don't pray. But the thought is, why not pray? Do you know major league batters, they make a lot of money, right? To get up and hit home runs. Do you know the greatest home run hitter, the average at bats before he would hit a home run was at least 10? That was Mark McGwire. He holds the record. 10 at bats, home run. Those other 9 times, though, God knows what happened. He wasn't a very fast runner. Probably didn't even get on base. You know what, as Christians, we need to step up to the plate and keep swinging for the fences, because the Lord answers prayers. He may not answer when we think he should answer them, but you know what, he answers prayers. Even when it seems like he's taking a long time. I so appreciated Mark Batterson sharing with us that he was healed of asthma after praying for 30 years. It's a long time to pray for something. But you know what? He kept getting up to the plate and swinging to the fences. It's so funny. When you read the book Grave Robber, you can tell that he had not yet been healed because he was talking about his asthma. But just last week, he was able to stand up here and say, I've been asthma free. I just ran a marathon. Praise the Lord. Prayer, the power of prayer. Let's not be spiritual Barney Fifes. I'm showing my age with this. Barney Fife had a weapon, but he kept his bullet where? In his pocket. He didn't even keep it in the gun. Let's keep our guns loaded. Let's pray. There's a wonderful example in Scripture of this bold praying, but also, you know, praying in faith. David, King David, his first son with Bathsheba, fell deathly ill. And David began to pray and fast. It got to the point where David just shut himself in a room and lay on the floor prostrate, praying, not eating. People would come and try to give him food to eat, and he said, "Go away. No, I'm praying." For 7 days he did that, and the baby still died. His servants didn't even want to tell him. They felt like he would be so distraught. And so they weren't talking, and finally he figured out, is the baby dead? And they said, yes, he is. The scripture tells us David got up, he went and washed himself, he put on clean clothes, and he went to go eat. And then he went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped, to the amazement of everybody. And they couldn't believe it. They said, David, what? When the baby was alive, you wouldn't even eat. You wouldn't even do anything but stay in your room. Why do you do this? And David said, you know what? My baby can't come back to me, but I can go to him. God is good. And he worshiped. Everybody say faith. Prayer. We bring our impossibility to Jesus with humility. The Jews said, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. You know, the Lord is blown away by his faith. It actually, one translation said he marveled at his faith, his humility that existed within his faith. I'm not even worthy, Lord. Do you know what? The Lord does not have to do what we ask. God is God. He can do what he chooses to do. But God is good, and he is merciful, and he is gracious. But I really believe that the Lord looks at us, and when we put him in his proper place, and we have the appropriate humility, it touches the heart of God, as it touched Jesus here. This was not the only time that such faith and humility prompted Jesus to act, even on the behalf of someone who was not a Jew. In Mark 7, verses 24 through 30, and Matthew chapter 15 through 21 through 28, we see a wonderful story of a Syrophoenician woman, or the Canaanite woman. She goes to Jesus because her daughter is demon-possessed. And she goes to Jesus asking, will you please heal my daughter? But Jesus' response is not what she probably expected. Jesus, full aware of the fact that the time of the Gentiles had not yet come, those who were not Jews, he came to save the Jews and those in Israel. He makes this comment. He says, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And if there were teenagers around, they all said, burn. But you know what? This woman, she didn't respond like some of us would respond, right? Some of us would have gone from zero to ghetto in 60 seconds. Who you calling a dog, right? I've heard it said that Christianity is not just about how we act, but how we react. And sometimes the way we react, we end up forfeiting blessing. But this woman, look at how she responds. Listen to this. She says, yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You are Lord. You are the master. Lord, I just want a crumb. Can I just get a crumb? I call that the crumb mentality. Do you know what, Lord? You don't owe me anything. You're right. You are perfectly right. You owe me nothing. In fact, if you never did another thing for me, Lord, you've already done enough. But I'm asking just for a crumb. I believe that the Lord honors that crumb mentality. In fact, he said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Your request is granted. Here's the insight. A faith-filled, humble request. Faith-filled, bold, but humble, thankful. Lord, you don't owe me anything, but this is what I would like for you to do. The Lord loves such requests. He can make the impossible possible. Here are some questions. What is your impossibility? What has someone told you is impossible? What has the enemy whispered in your ear and said, you cannot do that? Guess what? With God, it is impossible. What hinders you from bringing it to the Lord? Everybody say, just one word. Just one word from the Lord can turn our situation around. Verses 7 and 8 says, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does that. He does it. This man had a full grasp and understanding of authority. But you know what? Above that, he had an understanding of the fact that Jesus is the ultimate authority. He had an understanding in the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. And so he said, just say a word. That's all it would take. Just one word. And I'm here to tell you, because of one word, I stand here before you today. One Sunday morning, one word changed my whole life around. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's talking about Jesus Christ. And so the same authority that was present at creation when the four words, let there be light, was spoken, and this electromagnetic wave that stimulates sight and makes things visible and travels at 186,000 miles a second that we enjoy so much, right? The same authoritative word that did that is the authoritative word that says, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. It's the same word that says, Lazarus, come forth. It's the same word that says, your marriage shall last. Your children shall be saved. You can forgive. You can get back up and try it again. The authoritative word of God. You know when God's word has the most power? When we actually obey it. Some people say, that was a great word, Pastor Mike. And I say, well, we'll see. We'll see. There are going to be times in our lives when we have the choice. Listen, every single person in here has the choice to rely on our own intellect, our own human wisdom, our gut, whatever you want to call it, or simply choose to yield to the Word of God. And on the other side of that is the miraculous waiting to happen. Without yielding to the Word, at that party in Cana, the water would have stayed wine. Listen, had the servants not filled up the pots with water, Jesus, did you not hear them? They're not asking for water. They're asking for wine. Are you trying to mess up my tip? But they still went and filled up the pots with water. Obedience to the word of God. Peter wouldn't have walked on water had he stayed in the boat. The paralytic would have not walked had he not taken up his bed and stood to his feet and taken a step. The disciples wouldn't have gotten a boatload of fish had they not let down their nets. There's a little story where Jesus is in the boat with his disciples, and he says, cast your net over here. And they're like, Jesus, come on, Mr. Walk on Water. I know you do all that stuff, but we're fishermen. We know how to fish. In fact, we've been toiling all night. But what did they say? They said, nonetheless, at your word, we'll let down our nets. And lo and behold, they caught so much fish, so many fish, that the boat almost capsized. Listen, what word have you not yet yielded to? On the other side of it is a blessing that you probably don't have enough room to handle. The word of the Lord. Today is the time to yield to the word of God. For someone sitting here this morning, you've been trying everything that you could possibly try, but you have not yielded to the word of God. Today is your day. And the miraculous awaits. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. The word of the Lord has authority no matter the dilemma or the disease. There are two students at George Mason University. They came up with a way to extinguish fires, not with an extinguisher or messy chemicals, but just with the use of sound waves. They figured out a way to make a tube, and with low-frequency sound waves, they're able to put out fire. Everybody say, I knew it was all about the bass. They're able to extinguish fires. And you know what? God's word is the same way. When we speak the word of God over our situations, it's more than just sound waves. It's more than just language. It is the power to disrupt the natural order of things. And we can speak God's word, and we can extinguish the fires that may be raging in our bodies, extinguish the fires that may be raging in our finances. Hello, somebody say, I got some impossibilities in my finances. I need the Lord to blow on it. Make some things possible. When we yield to the word of the Lord and we speak it, we invite God's authority to reside over our situation. Number three, the Lord cares about those we care about. Sometimes I have to remind myself of this. The Lord healed a centurion's servant without even going into his house, without even seeing him. He just spoke a word. He healed this servant that was so dear to this centurion. And I could relate with that just this week. We're going through some things, walking through some things, and believing for God's miracle with someone I work with and love dearly. You know what? God loves the people that we love more than we do. God loves your children more than you do. He sent his son a mighty long way to live and to die, not just for you, but for the people that you love as well. And you know what? No matter the distance wasn't too great. I believe the Lord especially loves when we put ourselves out there to go, to believe, to ask, to fast, to pray, to do spiritual warfare, to believe the impossible. Listen, not just for ourselves, but for someone else. God, often in Scripture, we find him showing up and showing off for those who are willing to intercede. A centurion for his servant, four men for a friend, a mother for her daughter, a father for his son. Even when the faith maybe is not all there. There's a wonderful story in Mark 9, 23 through 24, where there's a man who comes to Jesus, his son is filled with a demon that casts him here and throws him there, and just going crazy. And he goes to Jesus and he says, I want you to heal my son, Jesus, if you can. And Jesus says, if I can, you must not have heard the stories. Where are you from? Where have you been? If you can, everything, Jesus said, is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Have you ever been there? I believe, but man, this is a tough one. I don't know if I can believe for this. You know what? The Lord even understands that. About 10 years ago, I was here as a children's pastor, and once a year, I would get to come up and preach in the big people's church with you guys. And I remember about 10 years ago, I came up and I think I did Michael Jackson and Big Mama all in the same service and then preached a sermon. It was a wonderful time. I remember I didn't even have my shoes on all the way because I couldn't get out of my Big Mama dress in time to get my shoes on before I had to be out here to preach the sermon. So I preached the whole sermon standing on the back of my shoes. And then after the message, I came down front and I was greeting people, and there was a mother who came down with her son. And she very humbly but very boldly said, will you pray for my son? He has cancer. And I'm going to tell you right now, guys, as I looked at him and I saw that his hair was gone, the tumors were protruding from his head, I did not have a whole lot of faith that my prayer was going to do very much. This was before I experienced the miracle with my father. I was very young in my ministry. I had actually at that time done more funerals than I did weddings. But I prayed my prayer as good as I could. About two months later, I got an email. I found out this lady was from North Carolina. I didn't even know how they ended up at our church. But she said, thank you for your prayers. I just want to let you know that my son is healed of his cancer. Isn't that something? Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't have very much faith. But that mother, she was willing. Thank you, Jesus. In front of God and everybody, she didn't care. And she walked her son down here, and I believe that God honored her faith, her humility. The Lord is willing and able to deliver those we love, no matter the distance, no matter the dilemma or the disease. And listen, he is looking right now to write some wonderful stories. There are some major motion stories that we can be the supporting roles in if we're willing to. I was this week doing some praying and fasting for people. And I looked over the prayer requests for this week. And you know what? In this little stack right here, there are some problems, some king-size problems that only the Lord can deal with. And so as we close out today, I want to pray for us that the Lord will help us to play our supporting role well, that we would bring our impossibilities to him. Right now, there's some wonderful things that the Lord is wanting to do in and through us, and that the Lord will hear and that he will answer these prayers. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord God, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for the awesome privilege we have to come to you. Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. And Lord God, we ask that you would help our faith. Lord, help us to believe. Lord God, we ask that you would help us to ask boldly Lord, we come this morning, Lord, we're asking that you would heal sickness, be gone in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would provide in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask that you would save in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to remember that we have an awesome, powerful God that we can look to. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you that it's not anything that you owe us. Lord, you've already done enough. But Lord, we ask anyway, help, oh God. Send your help, oh God. Work a miracle, oh Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.